Okay.
You good?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, it's now 4 p.m. We're going to go ahead and start the True Commission Committee at committee meeting, and we'll start off introducing ourselves. Start off with Mr. Carter.
Carter Jones, City Council President.
Bruce Tyson, CPAC 4.
Dr. Keyshan Chambliss, but has been changed to Dr. Keyshan Hargrove. I was selected by City Council President and I'm the Chair for True Commission.
Charles Barr, selected from the Council President and the Vice Chairman.
Raymond Day, representing the Southeast CPAC.
Yes, ma'am. Make sure your microphone's on.
Okay, we have a quorum now, and we're going to go ahead and review the minutes, and then have a motion to accept the minutes after you review.
So moved.
I'll second it. Okay. All right. Any public comment?
We have to vote.
You have to vote.
Oh, I apologize. Okay. All that are approve of the minutes, please. Say aye.
Aye.
Anyone that does not approve the minutes? And the minutes have been properly approved and accepted. Okay, any public comments? Okay, going to the auditor's report.
Bear with me. I'll keep my reports from sliding off the dais here. The Council Auditor's Office has released five reports since the last True Commission meeting. Report number 868, a quarterly summary for the 6 months ended March 31st, 2023, was released on May 12th of 2023. This was the 6 months quarterly summary. excuse me. For the independent agencies, for JEA, all systems are expecting a balanced budget at year end with full contribution remitted to the city. Fuel expenses are projected to come in under budget by about $90 million. On the electric side, it was mentioned last quarter that JEA will need to bring an amendment for use of about $40 million in reserves for an unbudgeted contribution to the non-fuel purchased power rate stabilization fund, and that's for the Plant Vogtle payments. For water and sewer, we'll also need an amendment for use of reserves from the Environmental Rate Stabilization Fund, totaling $23 million to cover elimination of environmental fees. For JTA, all divisions are projecting a balanced budget at year end. Bus division is projecting a $6.5 million positive variance overall. Net sale, and that's mainly driven by net sales tax, which is a local option. Net sales tax is the half cent sales tax and the local option gas tax. Both of those are over budget by, or they are, actuals are exceeding budget by about $7.5 million. JT has a contingency dollars of about $8.5 million. They're not utilized, but they are absorbing the cost overruns and other expenses. Also, we noted again in our report that the 21-22 budget still has not been amended for each of the five divisions. We recommended again that JTA submit a budget amendment to the City Council. For JPA, they're projecting a balanced budget at year end with expected surplus of $6.7 million. It's mainly being driven by cruise ship revenues. They're having higher than budgeted occupancy rates and also higher investment income. And they also are having some lower debt service costs. For JAA, the balanced budget at year end with expected surplus of about $31 million, primarily due to the favorable variance in operating capital dollars used for capital projects, and it's due to construction delays. And some highlights from the general fund, general service district. The general fund is projecting a favorable budget variance of about $53.3 million. Revenues are about $27.3 million higher than budgeted, mainly due to favorable variance of $10.7 million in the half-cent sales tax, $6.1 million higher than anticipated investment earnings, and $6 million higher of ad valorem tax revenue, and that's due to the higher values of the final higher values of the homes. Expenses are projected to be $26 million less than budget. It's mainly being driven by $18 million for $11 million in JSO vacancies, reduced fuel costs, $2.8 million, and contractual savings in the jail. And then for other funds, there were solid waste fund has a $2 million variance overall. However, there were about $10 million in costs from recent legislation that hasn't really affected this yet. And then the city venues are projected to exceed budget by $3.6 million, but that will not impact the general fund. So any questions on the quarterly summary? Yes.
$900 million excess due to
$90 million.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then two of the they had lower.
Yes, they'll have to come back for an additional amendment because they're on the electric side, JEA had to use about $40 million in reserves for an unbudgeted contribution to their non-fuel purchase power rate stabilization fund, and that was for Plant Vogtle expenses. Well, for this though, they've made the payments, but they've made payments that were unbudgeted out of their reserves, so they have to come to council to get that. Well, the fuel expenses, I don't know if that'll be a surplus at the end of the year. Right now, they're just projecting their expenses to have a favorable variance at the end of the year. So it would also depend on revenue coming in and to see where they're coming at, to see if they'll have a surplus.
Well,
having a surplus possibly. Yes. Well, right, right. That, right, yes, but I'm not sure how they'll react on how they'll, what they'll do with that right now, but yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I had a question in regards to the city revenues.
Okay.
On page 3. I was trying to make sense of what they were trying to say with them saying it had a negative budget variance that didn't factor in the MRA infusion of 2.3, but that they planned on doing so.
Talking about for the clerk of court?
No, no, for city venues. It's 47101 on page 3 at the
okay.
end.
Okay. I was reading this. Yes, they apparently they didn't appear to factor in the use of the 2.3 million in American Rescue Plan dollars to cover utility expenses, in the, as what was in the ordinance code.
So did that just get dropped when it, the legislation, when it was passed, didn't factor in that change when they reconciled the numbers?
Well, I guess when they put the report together, they didn't take into account this. Hopefully, what? at the end of the year, they're hoping to have a positive variance of $900,000, basically. After the American Rescue Plans are utilized to cover the deficits. So
so I guess
see if it'll be corrected in the next quarter where they will use this, where they'll show this funds coming into the city venues.
So for my benefit, whenever you have funds like these that are used to offset losses, is that reflected in the numbers when they're viewing it in OneCloud in the financial system, or is that a manual process that they have to do separately?
I don't know. I haven't looked at the venues, the city venues in OneCloud, so I don't know how they show up there.
But do you have an example for any other instance in which we would have done that?
No, I don't right now.
Okay.
It would probably show in as a contribution from general fund or something like that in OneCloud if we were to see it. It may not have, depending on when this ordinance was passed, which I'm not sure when it was done, you know, it may not have shown up in there yet on that.
Okay.
For that one.
And then
go ahead.
No, you're finished with
that. I was done. Go ahead.
And then I had one follow-up question to what you're referencing in regarding to JTA.
Yes.
I thought when we saw in the last quarterly summary when they had their negative budget variance that I think you had said that they planned on submitting an amendment to the budget to finance so that way they could reconcile it. So when you said that that hadn't happened and you guys were making the recommendation, did something change or?
No, this is for their budget amendment from fiscal year 22 that we were saying they needed to make a budget amendment for to true up the fiscal year 22 budget because their expenditures exceeded what was authorized to be spent by the city council. And so they have to submit legislation with a basically a new budget reconciling to show that, you know, requesting to be approved for those expenditures even though it's already happened.
So but the last time when we referenced that, has that part already occurred when you were talking about 2021 or is that still
2021 has been 2021's been taken care of.
Okay.
That was they've done a budget amendment for 2021 but not 2022.
So this is the only one that they still have to do to reconcile it?
Correct.
Okay. Yep. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any more questions? Okay, Mr. Day.
You referenced revenue variance and expenditure variance that mm-hmm. we're totaling some $50 million in total. Is that correct?
Yes.
And what was the revenue positive variance?
$27.3 million.
And that was driven primarily by what revenue source?
The half-cent sales tax.
That goes into the Better Jacksonville plan?
No, that's a different one. This one is allocated to the different counties and cities via a formula.
Okay.
The surtax, the half cents, that's a different calculation.
Okay,
so this is the 6 cents.
This is the state's, there's a part of the state sales tax comes to the localities. Okay.
Correct.
And that's where the variance is coming from.
That's $10.7 million. $6.1 million was higher than anticipated interest earnings. Our investments did better. Higher ad valorem taxes.
By about $10
million? Well, this was $6 million, so I'm not sure what the difference is between the $5 million on there.
And then the expenditure variance. This was driven by reduced spending in the sheriff's office because of all the vacancies.
Yes.
Do you have a breakdown by, say, how much of that was coming out of the corrections department, how much was coming out of patrol and enforcement and other of the sheriff's departments? There are 6 departments in total, I believe.
Right. I don't have, for the sheriff's department, it just is saying that there's $6.5 million in personnel costs. There's a favorable budget variance of $6.5 million in personnel costs due to vacancies.
Okay. There's no breakdown as to where those.
I think that's in the patrol and enforcement department.
Okay.
The others.
There's, I think, some 40 vacancies in that patrol and enforcement of vacancies below the authorized level.
And
I think there's a significant number of vacancies in the corrections department.
Yes, corrections, there was $4.1 million in corrections. So it's a total of around $11 million between the two.
Okay. And the total expenditure variance was how much?
$26 million. Favorable.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Whenever there's a revenue variance like this, do those excess revenues, are they automatically put into a reserve account?
No, it just comes in as excess.
Just sits and stays in the general fund?
In the general fund.
So then it is subject to appropriation in the current fiscal year?
It could be, yes.
Right. So if the council wanted to, before the end of September, they could appropriate in the current fiscal year out of those excess funds?
Yes, the council has that power.
Right. And then in the case of the expenditure variance, because we didn't spend the money, that just stays in those accounts?
As an expenditure variance to help.
Right.
Right.
Are those what they call unencumbered?
They're not unencumbered until probably after year end,
So remaining encumbered, and then at the end of September 30th,
right.
Whatever is not expended.
And you know, there could be some moving, you aren't going to fill these positions, so you might could move those expenses to another category or another personnel category or something, for example, like that.
And do you keep track of the variances in the sheriff's office where there might be a negative variance on expenses, where they have overspent and they're going to move this money around to close that budget shortfall?
other than, well, the sheriff's supposed to, I guess, under the new law, is supposed to, I think, provide a report. But no, we don't keep, I don't, okay. we don't.
So Mr. Clement doesn't necessarily provide to the council auditor details on the sheriff's variances?
To my knowledge, no.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any more? Ms. Gamble? Okay. Back to you.
Can I follow up on what something that you responded to Commissioner Day on?
Sure.
Whenever there is a variant, a positive budget variance, and obviously since this is for Q3, Q4 won't be published until probably like
Q2.
Sorry?
This is quarter two.
Quarter two. So we won't have a full picture of what the ultimate positive variance will be until when?
So, well, at
March of 24?
Well, at the
for
at
this
year
current
end,
fiscal
year. For this fiscal year, year end is September 30th.
So when council is reviewing the budget or when MBRC and the mayor are drafting the budget, do they factor in possible positive variances that they have from the previous fiscal year into the budget, or is that something that is caught while finance is doing its work?
Well, I know because they're in the process of doing the budget now, they did when the budget office does its projections, it looks at actuals received as far as well as trend from previous years, you know. So and to come up with a, you know, fairly conservative projection as to what to put in the budget, because we won't know until, you know, September 30th what the final numbers are.
So but, so theoretically, and I'm probably going to use the wrong word, so Raymond, you tell me if I'm wrong. So they do a calculation in terms of how much they will sweep into the new budget for revenue, projected revenue of what they project that they will have for the upcoming fiscal year that we're about to go into, and then whatever may be projected to be left over from the current fiscal year that we're in.
If there's monies, you know, left over from the,
or it's unallocated.
It's unallocated. They, I mean, I'm not sure how exactly how what the budget office looks at, because when we look at it, we're looking at, okay, we're not really can, other than the amount coming in for the projection purposes, we're just looking at, okay, are the projections reasonable based on what we've received in the past coming up. Now, as far as what they do with the money and sweeping, I'm not sure on that.
So when you get the final budget presentation mm-hmm. from the mayor, and it includes the projected revenue for the upcoming fiscal year, it doesn't, from your knowledge, delineate whatever revenues that they may be taking from unallocated funds from the previous fiscal year?
Well, they're, for revenue coming, for the revenue coming in, it's all just for new revenue coming in on fiscal year. If they use, if it goes to fund balance or whatever, we do look to see if anybody's using fund balance. But for revenue coming in, like sales tax and things like that, it's all just new revenue coming in, what we're expecting to come in beginning October 1 of 2023 for fiscal year 24.
I think that makes sense.
Follow-up yeah. question. I'm sorry. Does anybody else have a question? Okay. So these numbers are through the second quarter.
Correct.
So it's possible that we're going to end the fiscal year with over $100 million in total variance, assuming that the revenue variance continues and the expenditure variance continues due to the vacancies well, and the other factors that cause these two variances.
Well, ad valorem, we've pretty much collected about everything we're going to collect until the new notices come out.
So what you're saying then is that it's possible in the third and fourth quarters of the current fiscal year mm-hmm. that, so when they're projecting the revenues, they're not projecting the revenues on a quarter-by-quarter basis. They're simply projecting revenues on an annualized basis, and they simply extrapolate it out or average it out over the four quarters. They don't do a quarterly timing.
They're projecting it, what the balance will be as of year end.
Okay.
Not for sure.
So when the city is budgeting, they don't budget by month. They budget by the year and then simply divide by 12. Is that how they do it?
Yeah, it's, I mean, we have a, you can look in the system to see how much you're collecting each month. You can look on the state's website, see how much Department of Revenue disperses each month. But when it's a budget, it's on an annual basis.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Promise this is the last one, but you said something. I get what you're talking about when it comes to the ad valorem taxes, because they're pretty much collected. But for the sales tax funds, mm-hmm. the surplus that we receive, would you give the same answer in terms of what you kind of annualize of a projection? Or is that real? Is that a real surplus that they're projecting on top of what they actually saw, projected to see, if I'm making sense? Okay, I'll rephrase it.
Yes.
Of the, I think it was like $6 million in addition of sales tax funds that we received for quarter two that you referenced that was in surplus?
Year to date through quarter two,
$10 million in half cent sales tax.
So was that $10 million, in terms of the collection that we've seen of that $10 million, is that above what we expected to be at this point in the year? Or is that above of what we anticipated to collect for the whole year?
It's, I'll look at the schedule just to make sure so I don't say it wrong.
Because that will tell you whether or not at the end of the year if we're expecting to have surplus in that particular
right.
collection.
It's based on the projection as of at year end on what we're expecting to receive compared to budget.
Got it. Okay, that makes sense. All right, thank you.
Uh-huh. Okay. Any more questions on quarterly summary? Okay. second one is report 848A, which is the follow-up on fleet management audit. It was released on May 19th of 2023. This was the first follow-up to our audit on fleet management, and there were five issues that were outstanding from the original audit, and all five issues were cleared with this follow-up. So this audit will be considered closed. Okay. Any questions on this one? Okay. All right. Report number 826, which is the follow-up on Metropolitan Parking Solutions, MPS, redevelopment agreement. It was released on June 5th of 2023. This follow-up was from the original audit, had seven issues. This follow-up cleared all seven issues. I will note that we had to change our method up a little bit on this follow-up. It was due on the parking garages for the courthouse, the arena, and the sports complex garage, that we had to take into account. There was a settlement agreement on this from the original audit. After we did the original audit, as a background, the city was required to make tranche payments or a loan to MPS for any cash shortfalls that MPS being able to pay operating expenses, bond payments, or guaranteed return for MPS. So we went in and we looked, we took bonds out of the picture just so we could compare apples to apples of revenue for the garage, parking revenue. And so during the MPS managed period, there was an annual surplus in calendar year 15 of $123,000. They had a surplus in calendar year 16 of $156,000. Surplus in calendar year 17 of $23,000. They had a loss of $369,000 in calendar year 19. And of course, calendar year 20, they had a huge loss. That was COVID. So we also compared, since DIA took over, now the same management company that MPS had contracted with, DIA is using. So, excuse me, for the period May 22 through April 23, their surplus prior to any debt payments was $1.1 million. So in going through our testing, we found that since DIA has taken over, they've cleared all of these issues. There's no longer, we don't have to pay for any operating expenses or anything like that. That was part of that settled agreement. The reason for it was for some of the tranches, the city withheld part of the payments related to uncollected revenues, you know, due to rates being charged, estimated allocations for salaries, all various different reasons. And after the mediated settlement agreement, DIA took over managing the operations of the garage with the same third party that was hired, and not the MPS had hired. And so for the 12 months, like I said, the net surplus operations from after all expenditures, including the base rent payment prior to debt payments, was $1.1 million. So we were satisfied everything that we had asked had been cleared. So that one was cleared. And I apologize for coughing. I woke up this morning when my voice was getting a little bit deeper. I don't know if that's a sign of things or what.
Hopefully it's not.
Yes. The air from Canada.
Air from Canada. Probably is. I said there were five reports. I was only covering three. There's two reports that were released yesterday and the day before, but those reports haven't been presented to the Finance Committee yet. So I'll wait till next Drew Commission to present those next meeting.
Okay, just a second. We have one
okay.
question right here.
I'll go ahead.
Sorry, I couldn't. You said a couple of things that just like made me frustrated. The settlement agreement. Do you know when that settlement agreement was agreed to between the city and I guess MPS? I mean, DIA. Well, DIA controls it now, but yeah, right. I meant with the vendor.
Sometime in 2022, early 2022, because in the spring of 22, due to the mediated settlement agreement, the DIA took over managing the garages.
Do you know if that was that approved by council, or was that within the authority of general counsel and the mayor to kind of?
Council approved it.
Okay. Jeff, do you know what happened? You may not know. There's no way you know at the top of your head. But do you happen to know the bill number for that settlement agreement at all? Okay. And then the second question and the last one. Is there a reason why? Because I'm looking at the report. One thing that really caught me was like when it came to the fact that they hadn't paid property taxes, and we never caught that, but that's neither here or there.
Right.
But
that was it was in the original audit.
I remember the lawsuit when we originally filed the city, and there was a multitude of different things that the city kind of claimed that the MPS was not doing and the vendor that they had as a subcontractor was not doing. Why would we hire them, the same vendor again?
It wasn't the vendor, it was MPS.
Yes.
So we didn't hire MPS. We didn't keep MPS. MPS had hired a third party to run the garage. MPS was the company.
No, I get that. It's just we contended in the lawsuit that they didn't run the garage well.
Well, that was MPS. The vendor that we're using is not MPS. I'm not sure of the name. But it's
no, I get that. Okay, let me rephrase this.
Okay.
When the city sued mm-hmm. and said that MPS was not running the garage as well, it had the I don't want to call it a subcontract, but they had the vendor that they used to run the garages. So I would assume that would include all of them as in that statement, unless I'm wrong. So if we contended that they're running the garages badly, why would DIA hire the same vendor that MPS was using to run the garages again?
2022-775 is the bill number from last November.
Okay.
And if I remember correctly, and I stand to be corrected, I think that the DIA's problem with MPS was the way they reported revenues and some certain kinds of expenses and the things they charged for, or reports not being provided in a timely basis. It wasn't a problem with the people in the booth letting cars in and out and collecting the money. That's not where the problem was. The problem was they gave the money to MPS, you know, that they collect at the gate. It goes to MPS, who they work for, and it was the relationship between MPS and the city that was the problematic part. It wasn't the people actually doing the day-to-day work in the garage. They were doing an okay job.
It wasn't an operational issue. It was a management issue.
It was a management issue and a reporting issue to the city about what they were or weren't doing according to what the contract said they should or shouldn't be doing.
Okay.
And that was the basis for litigation?
We sued them, or actually we quit paying them.
Yeah.
Because we alleged that they were violating the agreement by not giving us the financial reports and putting things in as expenses that should not have been in as expenses. When we stopped paying them, they sued us for violating the contract by not paying them, and then the judge sent them off to mediation, and this is where we ended up.
Okay. So when I look at the agreement, nothing in the agreement will deal with, I get what you're saying. I get it in principle. But nothing in the agreement will say that the parties agree to continue to have the same vendor manage the garages. That was an independent that was an independent decision that they made, irresponsive of the settlement that they had.
I don't know if that'll say that or not. I haven't read the agreement, so I don't know.
Okay. Because I see a lot of times when the city just like waves a procurement code and doesn't go into a solicitation to actually see what's out there. They just like will keep what they have. So I was just curious if the two were related or if they were separate.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I didn't read that agreement, so I don't know as far as the legislation.
Okay.
One other thing that didn't come out as a report, but it came out as a memorandum from the council auditor, and that's the general fund, general service district recapture. In accordance with the ordinance code, 106.106, the finance and administration department submits to the council auditor's office recommendations for the recapture of the general fund, general service district monies from the general fund GSD supported operated funds. So if there's money left over, and the funds, this is for fiscal year 21-22. They make a recommendation to say, hey, we need to take that money from there, and we review the recommendations. We look at, you know, redo the calculations, and we either agree with them or not. This kind of went back and forth. The recapture amount for this year was $6,393,904 from six different funds, and those funds goes into the operating reserve to fund that. And so, but I just wanted to, I know the council auditor had presented this at the finance committee, so I just wanted to let you guys know this went through, but it's not really an official report. It's just an action through the per the ordinance code. So. And that's all I have. If no other questions.
No questions. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Moving right along on committee reports, and we still don't have an audit committee. Volunteers, a legislative tracking committee. Anyone wants to volunteer for the audit committee? Anyone?
What does that consist of?
Again,
is it working with them?
Well, yes.
basically, when we had an audit committee, the audit committee would meet before the commission. They would review the reports. You'd get to ask more detailed questions. And then when the full commission met and you heard the reports, you'd be able to give any additional insight you found. So it's like the pre-meeting. But you can make it into whichever way you want.
So we have a volunteer. Okay, Commissioner.
I guess I need to get with him on some details.
Yes, Commissioner Barr, thank you. What about the Legislative Tracking Committee?
It's like when new law.
Okay.
I'm supposed to be reviewing that, and I just haven't had time.
Okay. So. You need help on?
Sure. I mean, I'd welcome any additional input. Basically, every week after every week or 2 weeks, Jeff, when legislation's entered, every 2 weeks, the Wednesday prior to the full council meeting, is that
that's correct
time frame?
Yeah.
Then Jeff will send out a report to all of us, and then the legislative tracking is supposed to review that and then make comments to the full commission as to anything that might be of interest. Typically, by the time we get the reports, they're what, halfway through the cycle, so and they've probably all have already been to committee hearings and public hearings, and at that point, our ability to make input is rather limited, if I understand the timing of the whole process. So it's sort of a, in my opinion, it's of minimal impact.
I'll go ahead and volunteer for it.
All right, Commissioner Carter will volunteer to be on the Legislative Tracking Committee. Okay, cool. Thank you.
So we can, you can review it, I can review it, and then we'll.
Yeah, that's fine. We'll
exchange
each other.
Oh, is that a Sunshine Law violation? Unless we meet in a noticed.
Yes, you basically need to meet in a noticed meeting
in publicly
here at City Hall, recorded minutes, all of that, if you want to talk about it. If
not, we could review it independently and make comments at the commission.
You can do that, yes.
But that might be the most feasible way to do it, because I doubt that neither one of us just needs one more meeting in our life.
I agree. That's fine.
All right.
Appreciate it.
We'll try it and see how it works.
Chair's comment. I asked last meeting, I asked Jeff about giving me information about the issue with the Skip School and a liquor place, and so he did send me the email. He probably sent it to you guys as well, I'm assuming. Good information, and still trying to work something out. It was a violation. It's definitely a violation what's going on now, and so it looked like City Council is going to have to vote on it. So it's still more to come and more to follow, so I'm going to continue to follow that closely because it is in my district.
A question to Jeff. That article that you sent from Jacksonville Today where it said that Councilman Ferraro had withdrawn that bill. So has anyone outside of the reform that they want to do to the Planning Commission's approval process for these types of variances, is there any other bill that they've introduced to try to solve the problem between the liquor store and the school, or is that still kind of out there?
Not to my knowledge. There's been nothing else has come in to replace that.
Chair?
Yes.
Also, Jeff, in that report, didn't it say something about the fact that there's a time frame when action was supposed to have begun, like 1 year from approval, and if it hadn't been, that it was null and void unless resubmitted. So is that another issue that the council's looking at in this particular point in time?
I have not been I think the LUZ committee is where it is mostly being talked about, and I don't attend those meetings, so I don't know anything about the status of what happened if they didn't meet that deadline. I could find out.
Please do. I was going to ask you that question.
Follow up to what they both said. We have a good conversation here. A lot of times I'll go back and look at different commissions to see like their minutes and videos and stuff. Planning commission is one of those where it's not very easy to go back and track back. Since the planning commission is made up of mayoral appointees, who's actually responsible for updating the website with their minutes and their videos? Is that something that neighborhoods are supposed to do, or is that called a public affairs, or how does that?
The planning commission belongs to the planning department, so I would presume they staff it, so I presume that they're the ones responsible for their minutes and their videos. Now, I couldn't swear to that because it's possible that there's somebody in the administration that is responsible for getting everybody's information onto the website, maybe through the public information office. From the city council's perspective, we do it ourselves, but I don't really know how the operation works on the executive side of the house.
And you guys do it beautifully. Some others don't.
Thank you.
So that's why I asked the question. Okay, thank you.
Any more questions? Okay. I'm going to move on to old business, the capital improvement program discussion. Any questions on that? Any concerns?
Jeff, you sent out in the minutes some documents, I guess, that were from the process in which they kind of score, and then the ordinance code references that reference the kind of process. Is this what you were able to kind of obtain to kind of show how they do the scoring prior to them making decision in terms of what has higher or lower priority in the CIP?
That was my understanding of that's the form they use, yes.
Got it. And that's stayed consistent throughout, or is that just what the form that they have now?
It's, as far as I know, it's what's been in use for the last, probably during the Curry administration.
Okay. Thank you.
I got that from the woman who was the CIP administrator who came over to work for the council just recently.
By the way, I appreciate you nailing that down, because I know you had to go back and forth a couple of times before you could get it. So this is exactly what I was looking for. So thank you.
Commissioners, any more questions, concerns about the CIP? Okay, moving right along. New business, commission annual report adoption. Everybody you should have it. Review it, please. Just saw two things on the first page canceled. Under meetings should be is misspelled. Page one, under meetings. This one right here, annual report, true commission annual report for 22-23. He gave it to us.
The misspelling is under
meetings canceled. Under the title meetings canceled. It's misspelled. It should be 1L.
There we go.
That's one more. And also on the second page, on top is discussed at meetings, it should be city uses the first and second tranches of federal American Rescue Plan funding, so you can take out of. Second page on topics discussed at meetings.
That was city uses of the first and second tranches.
Yes. Or, of. You can take out of. City uses the first and second tranches of the Federal American Rescue Plan funding. You can take out of.
I don't think so, because it's just referencing that the discussion that was taught, the topic of discussion was city uses of the first and second tranches.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, so
words, make sure.
Uses would be the subject, not a verb in that case.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you.
The parks study report that we did with Commissioner, the late Commissioner Roberts, was that in this year or was that last year?
I believe that was last spring, mm-hmm. So previous year.
Okay. There was one thing that was missing, and that the topics discussed, that was when, and honestly I don't know the statute reference, but it was during legislative session. Oh, wait, that was last year. It was about the bill that the legislature passed that essentially enabled the sheriff to be able to reappropriate funds after the city council had approved it, but that was last year.
That was last session.
See?
Yeah.
Okay.
I move adoption of the report as amended.
Okay, it has been properly moved second. And you didn't. Okay, properly moved and second. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anybody against it? Thank you. Now, the next will be the bylaws revision, Commissioner, bylaw revision. And I think there's a page for that that's been given out as well.
Would you like me to go ahead and address this, present this information?
Sure, go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask Jeff a quick question. Was the last revision made in 2019? Is that the last revision that was done to the bylaws? Do you know?
Not according to this. I would have to look and see. You think we've done something since 2003?
Well, not since I've been here.
Yes, we did. We did like a whole, that's when we used to meet up in the city council conference room. That's when we changed the bylaws to reflect the committee structure, how we were supposed to deal with media if we had any issues, and then the scheduling of everything. So that way it could align with when the fifth week was and when bills were introduced. So that way we'd be able to give our opinion if we wanted to between the Legislative Affairs Committee.
And is that part of the policies and procedure manual?
Yes, we did them together. If I remember,
ask because
correct.
The information I have is from 2019.
So the date on the last date of revision is erroneous then.
So this document that was sent to me stating November of 2003 should have been 2019, or is there a different document?
Well, the adopted is correct. We just did revisions, but there's no reference to the last date of revision, so I think
so
fine.
This document is the last revision. It's just the date of revision is the adoption date is incorrect.
As far as I know.
Correct.
Okay. All right. So I did revise the correct document then. Okay. All right. So I had some thoughts, and I quite honestly never remembered having reviewed these bylaws, and so Jeff sent them to me, and I looked them over. I just made some editing changes having to do with inserting some commas and periods and making some corrections in language, which, because it's so difficult to see a comma or a period, I highlighted all the changes in yellow with exception of one item that I missed. when I highlighted, and that would be under Article 3, Section E, Subsection 3, whether it says gathering of two or more commissioners to discuss an item that may foreseeably come before the commission. So I didn't see the need for the word foreseeably, just discuss an item that may come before the commission. So anyway, the editing that I did, that I'm proposing, anything that is a strike through is being deleted. Anything that is underlined is an addition. So as you read through it, you'll see that Article 3, Paragraph B or Section B, there's a change there. Then there would be a change farther down. Under Article 5, again, just change in diction, like under Article 5, Section A, Subsection 4, suggestions for improvements to the city's long-term financial sustainability. I took out the word soundness. And again, these are just my editorial comments. My suggestions. The only substantive change that I made was under Article 6, Officers. And this is the Taxation, Revenue, and Utilization of Expenditures Commission. And I believe that we're on the verge of having a city council president who will complete all city council presidential appointments. I believe that the CPACs are on the verge of, I know we have one CPAC member who will be confirmed by the city council Tuesday night and will be joining us at the next commission meeting. And I would expect that with some prodding, the other two CPACs could fill their appointments as well. And I feel highly confident that the incoming mayor will appoint the six appointments that I don't believe have ever been filled since Mayor Brown. So we're heading up on, 12 years that there never has been a mayoral appointment?
With two exceptions.
Okay. Who were they?
There were two appointments that Mayor Lenny has made to the commission. One
was Clayton Levins.
Yes, he was at the chamber. And then the other one was
somebody before me, and that's there for 6 months.
Yes, because he was on the commission, and then he got
moved
to housing.
So it's just he never went, and he never did anything after that.
No.
Correct.
Okay, all right. So I bring this all up in the context that I believe we're
McGowan. That was the
John McGowan.
Oh, John McGowan. Okay. Yeah. I believe we're on the verge of having a fully functioning commission with all 18 members. And I think that that would give us the ability to break into some committees or align our reviews along those two pathways, the income side and the expenditure side. So I'm simply recommending that we have a vice chair for taxation and revenues, and a vice chair for utilization of expenditures, and that we sort of use that division of labor to guide us going forward with those two respective vice chairs directing those activities. And you will see that my revisions insert all gender-neutral language. The term chairman, vice chairman are eliminated to reflect chair and vice chair. And so the bylaws under amendments, Article 9, these bylaws may be amended at any regular meeting of the commission by a two-thirds vote of the members in attendance at that time, provided that the amendment has been submitted in writing at the previous regular meeting or at a special called meeting. So I would submit these for our review to be voted on at the next regular meeting. So that's why I did this today. So that's So I'll go ahead. I will move adoption of these amendments.
Is that a motion?
Yeah.
Second.
All right. Now, I should have made the motion first and then launched into my explanation. So that's what sort of guided me, was thinking that, gosh, we're actually going to have a commission that can get some things done. Jeff, remember the original commission in 1988 when I came back from Washington and Tommy appointed me? We had a committee on, we did it under the same structure, as I recall. We had a revenues committee and then a utilization of expenditures committee. And we might even have had a special committee on the garbage tax, or else the revenue committee took that up. And then the True Commission made a recommendation for adoption of the original garbage tax when it was $96 a year. It was like $8 a month back in 1990. That's why I made these. Made this proposal and have presented these amendments so we could discuss and then lay it on the table for action at our next regular meeting.
Thank you, Commissioner Day. Appreciate it. I have a question over here. Go ahead.
Yes, I was reading, it says something kind of interesting. It said the commission, this is under Article 5,
mm-hmm.
Section F, it said the commission has the following powers and duties. Says to receive grants and donations from foundations, institutional organizations, and individuals for expanded funding. To my knowledge, has the commission ever received any of that? And because we talked at the last meeting about requesting funding from the council to give us the funding we need to do some of the evaluations and stuff, and yet here it's saying that, you know, we have the power and the duty to collect funds to do those things with. So,
and that's in the ordinance. If you remember the nature of the text of these bylaws, if it's italicized, it's language that the commission adopted. If it's regular typeface, this literally comes out of the ordinance. And I looked at the ordinance today. I believe that word expended, I believe that's a typo because it doesn't fit the context of the sentence. But if you put in the word expanded, in other words, to receive grants and donations from foundations, institutions, organizations, and individuals for expended funding, that doesn't make sense. But if you put in the word expanded funding, now you have a context that it's logical. So that's the reason I've crossed out expended and corrected it with expanded, but that's virtually in the ordinance.
Then why, I mean, I think it's a moot point, but why doesn't, or how would you go about even doing that if nobody even knows about it?
The commission would have to make requests. For instance, the commission could take formal action and request a grant from, let's say, the Jesse Ball DuPont Fund or the United Way, and they might say, the True Commission, I've never heard of that. And then somebody would have to dig into it, and they may approve it. So,
we've talked ever since I've been on about having funds, and I never knew that this even
mm-hmm.
existed. Not that, you know, I don't mm-hmm. know how it would be done, but obviously they're saying we can do it, or we have the duties and the power to do it. So I guess the next step, if we get that approved in that way, that we need to figure out how to do it. If we're going to need funds, figure out how to live
and along these lines, I would think that maybe the first thing we should do is actually request an appropriation in the upcoming fiscal year of some amount for, I would say, there should be a fully one dedicated staff person just for this commission. If we're going to have 18 members and, you know, I mean, when Jeff, remember the original commission, we would meet for 2 hours, probably twice a month. We met like at 9 o'clock in the morning. And then I believe the first Charter Revision Commission that I was on, in 1973, we met at nighttime. I don't believe the original True Commission met at night. I think it met during the daytime.
Yes.
And I think that was probably just the 15-year separation in time and people realizing that, you know, city council staff had a life and they didn't, they had better things to do than to come sit in on some citizens commission at nighttime. So, so what would be the process? Do we need to ask the mayor put into the budget she submits, or the mayor-elect, or should this come as part of the city council appropriation? What is the mechanism for that?
Well, it's interesting in that you have sort of three-way split ownership, six appointments from the mayor, the council president, and the CPACs. As a practical matter, the mayor's budget is really what drives what the finance committee reviews and tinkers with. Somebody has to start it, and it's the mayor that starts things off. So that would seem like the logical place to go. Okay. To get an appropriation for one and a position established, and then someone will have to decide where that position belongs, to what entity does it
report.
It
should be under council research, I would submit.
Or if, you know, the mayor might say, well, I've got six appointments, I think it ought to be under my shop. I don't think the CPACs really have much of a claim to it through the planning department, but it could go either way with the mayor or the council, and the finance committee would probably be the one to decide who they thought was the appropriate place.
Isn't our staffing supposed to come out of the city council? Isn't that what the language in the ordinance says? Or just appropriate city staff?
I think Tommy's going to pull his chapter.
Okay. Administrative support, Article 8. Yeah. Commissions shall receive staff support from the office of the city council and shall receive cooperation and support of the auditor's office and city's Department of Administration and Finance. But it looks like the actual staff support has to come out of city council, as I read it.
Okay.
Is that your interpretation, Mr. Carter? Okay. Yeah, I mean, you don't need to be a lawyer to read this stuff.
Yeah, that certainly is what it says.
You just need to be a graduate of the University of Florida. Just kidding.
Well, in that case, you may want to go to the council president and quote from this section. And
I met with him Tuesday to request that he appoint his positions, and then I did meet with him to request a favorable consideration of funding for the Jacksonville Community Council, Inc. And I'm happy to, you know, or Madam Chair, maybe you would like to meet with him and indicate that, you know, the commission feels this is the way to go. How do you guys feel? I mean, do you think we need, I mean, what is this going to cost? Maybe $150,000 a year, maybe?
No, I'm in total agreement, especially if we're expecting everybody who's supposed to get appointed to get appointed from the mayor's office and city council. I mean, I wholeheartedly agree that we're going to need funding and staffing in order to support all of our ventures.
Jeff can't do it by himself.
Mm-hmm. No, 100%.
So.
Yeah, I agree with you also.
I'm not in favor of growing city government just for the sake of growing it, but I think when there's a legitimate need, you know, and we are going to have $112 million in marginal ad valorem tax growth this year, so, you know, $100,000 or $150,000, whatever the math is, 0.001%, so... Or should we draft a letter signed by the chair to Council President Salem requesting that appropriation, or also maybe address a letter to the mayor-elect's transition committee, since she will have the ability to make those six appointments?
Yes, we'll go in that direction, yes.
All right. So I'll defer to your judgment as to how you want to proceed.
Right. So it's in a letter, definitely to both, it's to the president of city council as well as the mayor office as well. I know they're in transition, but we can do that. Is that okay with you, Jeff?
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, because she takes office in what, 20 days? 20 days, yeah. What is today, the 8th? Yeah, so 22 days. And then she's got 2 weeks to present the budget. So
any more questions on that before we move on?
It's not a question related to that, but I have a comment along the lines of changing the bylaws. I wonder if those changes there will affect the policies and procedure manual, and if maybe someone should be taking a look at that. And before you say it, I don't feel I have the expertise. I'd be happy to look over it because I have a copy here, but I don't think I would be the best person to I would be happy to work with someone as far as making those changes. But I think at the same time, if we're looking at that, I'm looking at some of the things that are in here, and I think they need to be updated.
So these bylaws could trigger some changes.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, I'm happy to work with you on that.
I think we should
look
at that.
If you want to present a draft, and I'll look it over, and then you and I can.
Right.
I guess we can notify Jeff, and then he can. We'll just do everything according to the book.
Exactly. And if you need any assistance from me, what have you, I'm here to help out as well. I'll look over with you as well.
I think if you can
submit all the changes to all of us.
Send a copy of. I don't know if you. I think I got it when I first became joined the True Commission. So if he could just maybe send a copy to, maybe everyone would like to take a look at it.
I think that's a good idea.
And
so Jeff, you'll send a copy to everyone. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
And then we all have a copy of the recommended changes. We can look at the policies and procedure manual, and you can make changes. I mean, this.
There is.
If you don't like my wording, you know. I'm not going to be offended.
There is one change, is the first one when you scratch out the 12 members and you say all members, that would be different from what the ordinance code says.
You're right. And the ordinance code is clear that 12 members, and they have to have the interest, and I do believe ordinance code does say the 6 members from the CPACs.
Yeah.
Still have to have that interest.
It's less of a.
And that was just.
It's less strong.
Yeah, yes. That was not addressed in the bylaws. In other words, that specific citation of the 6 CPAC members and their respective qualifications were not addressed in the bylaws. So,
correct.
When we bring this back to our next meeting, I'm going to assume it's going to be in August. We can make amendments. We can make amendments to the floor, can't we, Jeff?
Yes.
We don't need. Do we need to then wait another month, or can we? Okay.
No.
So we just. Well, this is going to be. This submission will meet the requirements of the bylaws for Article 9 amendments, and then we can make changes on the floor when it comes back for our discussion. So, all right. All right. I'm going to be quiet now.
All righty. Any more comments from the commissioners before we go on?
Go ahead.
So just to clarify, it's not a violation of sunshine law if we do meet with the mayor or city council president and ask for the funding and encouraging them to make appointments.
That is correct. The
correct.
Only
That's
time
fine.
Sunshine applies to you is if you're meeting with any of these folks with whom you share a membership on a body.
I gotcha. I turned 23 later this month, so I'm still learning a lot.
You're catching on very quickly, so.
Thank you. Okay, so meeting. So next meeting schedule, we're going to put out a motion to not have a meeting in July. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone's against that?
I second the motion.
Sorry, I apologize. I'm going fast. Let me back up. So anyway, I'm going to make a motion about not having a meeting in July recess. I mean, July.
And And I just think that's consistent with our prior practice.
Oh, I was going to do that anyway.
And taking the whole city council takes that break, and I think...
That's what we did originally. Correct. So anyway, all in favor?
Aye.
Anyone that's against it? All right, motion has been properly approved and second. Thank you. Any more questions? Anything else? Okay. So also, I want to make a motion to adjourn.
No, I have one question.
Somebody over there.
Okay. Yeah. The documents that you sent out, Jeff, from the last meeting included, and I was late, so I apologize if this was covered. But at the last meeting, on that last 8-pager of the handout document, it had this document from Information Technologies Division about the employee computer access inventory. Was that presented at the last meeting, or was that just part of the handouts that were?
It was not presented. It was in the packet of handouts, and I think it got overlooked at the end of the meeting. I had meant to mention it, and then afterwards realized that I hadn't.
Okay. The only thing, my concern about this was that from what it kind of described, it seemed their conclusions seemed different from what they told us that they were doing when they made their presentation, because when they made their presentation to the full commission, they said that ITD was doing inventory of the entire city and that that final result would be done in the beginning of the year, some point in January and February. But based on this summary, it says that they only did an inventory of employee services and that they were eventually going to get to other departments in different phases. So did they explain what happened that changed the scope of what they were doing?
As I understood it, they started with employee services because they're the ones who handle employees coming on board and off board. And in surveying all of the people in the department and cataloging all of the computer access rights they have, it was vastly more than they had anticipated. And there were some individuals have as many as 15 or 20 different things that they have access to. And so they were using that department as a test case, and it turned out to be a much, much larger task than they had envisioned it being. And so I think that's why it's going to take much longer than they had originally bargained for.
Did they provide an updated timeline in terms of when that would be?
They did not.
Okay. I'm afraid that with the, because I said this, by the way, I was afraid that with the transition that these are the type of projects that get lost, especially as directors and chiefs change, and then at that point there's still no inventory of systems that people have access to, that becomes a problem in my opinion. But appreciate the update in that regard.
Okay. Madam Chair, one comment. I'd like to recognize Kimberly Pryor. She will be on the consent agenda Tuesday night for the city council, and she will be filling the urban core CPAC position. So we have a new colleague who will be with us at our next meeting.
I thank you for hearing my questions. I know public comment was at the beginning, but I didn't have anything to say until after I heard the reports. So just a couple of comments. If I understand correctly, JEA has quite a bit of an excess, yet they more than doubled the base service charge for all of the citizens of Jacksonville. That, to me, is a concern. Why did they find the need to double the cost of the base service for electric if they now have this exorbitant amount of an excess? So I don't know if that's something that this body takes up or not. The other item is JTA has overspent their budget. And from what I understand, they will be submitting a bill to recoup that money. My concern is, why did they overspend before requesting permission to overspend? It seems to me that once the horse is out of the stable, it's kind of hard to get them back. So I would like to know what policies are in place when not just JTA, but any department knows that they are going to be past their budget allocation. I think that they should take that information up before they actually expend that money. And then the last is just a question. Are settlement agreements supposed to be vetted by this commission? No. Okay, they're not required to be. Okay, because you guys were talking about the parking, the settlement and everything else, so this body does not weigh in on settlement agreements.
No, we can't. They don't have an obligation to come to us.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but do they do that?
Thus far, they have not. Thus far, no.
Yeah. Okay.
The last 12 years, maybe I'm speaking out of turn. I'll say my thought is the last 12 years, neither the mayor, neither the executive branch nor the legislative branch have even cared about this commission, and I'm hopeful that that attitude is going to change.
We had someone in the future under, I don't know how many years it's been, but we did have a city council person that actually had us to investigate about money funding that was misplaced, that disappeared. So they have. There has been someone did it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I appreciate y'all hearing me out, and I look forward to working with the body.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. Wait a minute, Jay. So I want to, now I want to go. So anyway, I have a motion that we adjourn the meeting at 5:22. Yes, it's been properly seconded, so the meeting is adjourned. Thank you all. And if you have tickets, you can go to Jeff to get your little thing, your sticker.
Well, enjoy your vacation.